Good morning, everyone, and God bless you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 5. We're going to start reading in verse 1, and we want to give a shout out to all of our friends in Stanford this morning. Let's talk about finding faith to try again. Look with me in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that's another name for the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch." Simon answered, But Lord, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Father, would you come now and breathe life among us? Visit us in Greenwich. Visit us at the Majestic Theater in Stanford this morning. Father, speak living words. The letter kills, but when you speak, it is spirit and life. Breathe among us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Launch. Launch out into the deep. Jesus is calling Peter and Andrew, James and John. He's calling to you and to me. Launch out into the deep. And leave the things of earth behind you. Launch out into the deep and leave behind life as you have known it so far. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind the long, dark night. Leave behind your heavy labor and toil. Launch out into the deep. Leave behind your past frustrations and failures, the sins of your past. Launch out into the deep and discover what God has awaiting you that is exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or even imagine. Launch out. This week, we launched into uncharted waters together as a congregation with the launch of the Stanford Satellite Campus. We're trying something we've never tried before. We're going places we've never been before. We're reaching for new heights. And as we do, I hear the voice of Jesus calling. Jesus is calling to individuals. He's calling to men and women. He's calling to students. He's calling to someone in Greenwich. He's calling to someone in Stanford this morning. The time has come for you to launch out. It's time for you to launch into a new relationship with Jesus. It's time for you to launch into new intimacy with him. It's time for you to launch into a whole new way of life. It's time for you to launch out to a new depth. It's time for you to launch into your calling and destiny in Jesus. Launch out. Last week, we talked about the first key to launching out, and that is letting Jesus into your boat. That morning when Jesus came walking down the shore of the Sea of Galilee, it was unlike any other morning before it. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they already knew Jesus. They were already familiar with his ministry. They had heard his preaching. Jesus had even been to Peter's house He healed Peter's mother-in-law from her deathbed, a favor Peter had not asked for. They were cautiously curious about Jesus. They were interested, but they weren't convinced. But today was different. Today, Jesus was seeking Peter out. Thousands of people were in pursuit of Jesus, but that day, Jesus was in pursuit of Peter. He made a beeline straight for Peter's boat, and he asked one simple thing. Peter, will you let me into your boat? Can I tell you that Jesus is in this place this morning? He's walking these aisles. He's in the majestic theater, moving up and down the rows. He's making a beeline for your heart today, and he wants to know one simple thing. Will you let me into your boat? Will you let me step into the center of your life and plant myself there? Will you let me take over? Will you let me teach you? Will you let me take you to new depths? Will you let me transform your failures into successes? Will you let me in? The first key to launching out is letting Jesus in your boat. This morning, I want to share a second key with you to launching out. The second key I find in Luke 5 is this. If you want to launch out, you must find faith to try again. You must find faith to try again. Once Jesus assumed command of Peter's boat, he told Peter, launch out into the deep water. Perhaps Peter thought that Jesus wanted to go for a little joyride. Maybe he thought that Jesus just wanted to get away from the mob. But what Jesus was actually doing was he was helping Peter get into the right position to try again. There's a word from the Holy Spirit for someone in Greenwich this morning. There's a word from the Holy Spirit for someone in Stanford this morning. It's time to get yourself in position to try again. The Holy Spirit says, try again. Try again. If you've had a failure in your personal relationships, try again. If you've had a friendship that has failed, try again. If you've had a romantic relationship that has failed, try again. The moral of this story is there's plenty of other fishes in the sea. If you've had a failure in your marriage, try again. If you've had a failure in your parenting, try again. If you've had a failure in your career, try again. If you've had a failure in your finances, try again. If that project, that creation you were working on, if it failed, try again. If you failed to achieve that personal goal, try again. If you've had a ministry failure or a moral failure or a spiritual failure, try again. If life has handed you lemons, get heaven's aid. That's good preaching right there. Try again. This time it's going to be different. Try again. This time you're going to succeed. Try again. This time your outcomes are going to exceed your expectations. Try again. As I look at these verses in Luke 5, I find a few things that we must push past in order to get in position to try again. A few things that we have to push past. I want to share them with you this morning. The first thing as I look at these verses, the first thing I see that we must push past in order to get in position to try again is you must push past your weariness. You must push past your weariness. Beloved, look at me. Fatigue will keep you anchored in the shallows. How many of you know that weariness can make you weird? Lack of sleep. You know, one of the biggest problems in our culture, in our society, is that people don't get enough sleep because they stay up all night watching garbage on the boob tube. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Weariness can make you weird, can affect your ability to think clearly, can affect your ability to speak clearly. It can affect your ability to move quickly. It can affect your personality. One of my best friends in seminary was a guy called Chip. And Chip started working in Springfield, Missouri, started working in a manufacturing plant to support himself while he was in seminary. And he was working the second shift and doing a great job, and the management liked him. And so they asked him to become the foreman of the graveyard shift. And I watched over weeks and over months as the effect of weariness took its toll on Chip. And he was so tired standing up on his feet, he couldn't formulate a clear sentence. It was affecting his personality. Denise and I got married in Toronto, and Chip was driving from Springfield, Missouri to Toronto by himself, and in the middle of the daylight in Illinois, fell asleep at the wheel and totaled his pickup truck. Weariness can make you weird. Peter was the foreman of the graveyard shift. He was tired. He had worked all night, and it had been a really, really bad night at work. Somebody once said, a bad day of fishing beats a great day anywhere else, but I don't think Peter would agree, not that morning. You can feel the anguish in his words. Lord, we have worked all night, and we haven't caught anything. Maybe you know what it's like to be weary too. Maybe you know what it's like to be tired of trying again and again and again and failing. Maybe you know what it's like to be disappointed with the outcomes over and over and over again. Maybe you know what it's like to be disappointed by people and you're tired of it. You've been let down even by the church. Maybe you're tired of being rejected again and again. Jesus comes looking for Peter on his very worst day. And he says, Peter, I want you to push past your weariness, and I want you to try again. Can I tell you, beloved, that Jesus is looking for you in the very worst moment of your life? On Adam's worst day, Jesus came looking for him, calling for him in the garden. And on your worst day, in your worst moment, when you have blown it, when you have failed, that's when Jesus comes looking for you. I have terrible news for you this morning. If you have it all together, Jesus can't do anything for you. If you have it all figured out, you're wasting your time here this morning. You might as well be out golfing. We've already taken the offering, so you can go. I'm messing with you. If you've got it all figured out, Jesus, he can't do anything for you. Jesus said, I didn't come to help those who are well. I can only do something for people who need me. If you have a failure in your life, Jesus is looking for you this morning, and he's asking you, let me into your boat, and together we're going to launch out and we're going to move away from here to a better place. Launch out into the deep water. Jesus is inviting you this morning. Pull away from your fatigue and your frustration. Pull away from your past failures. Jesus gets in your boat and he says, you know what? Let's get out of here. Let's go someplace better. Peter said, Lord, we've worked all night. We gave it our best shot. We plied all of our knowledge, all of our skill, all of our strength. We showed up at the right time and we did the right job and we came up with nothing. I think one of the most painful things in life is when we have done our dead level best, when we've given it our best effort and it wasn't good enough. But you know, Jesus never rejects people because of their failures. He didn't reject Peter, and he won't reject you or me either. He's just looking for someone to say, Lord, welcome to my boat. And if you'll let him into your boat, he'll say, let's pull away from here. Let's go someplace better. He wants to pull you away from the frenzied pace of your life. It was a crazy morning. Peter had work to do. He had nets to mend and wash and put away. All he wanted to do was get done and get out. And down the shore comes this throng of people, and it was a mob scene. And Jesus says, Peter, let's pull away. Let's get out of here. Let's pull out of this crazy pace and this crazy place, and let's go someplace quiet together so I can help you out a little bit. You know, life here is not normal. Life here in New York, in the suburbs of New York, it is just not normal. I've lived here so long that I have to go other places to remind myself that the rest of America and practically the rest of the world do not live at the pace that we live at. I met a lovely pastor this week from India. You're going to get to meet him. When you hear his testimony, I promise you, you will be blown away. He's a friend of our friend, Pastor Raymond Mui from Malaysia. But he said to me, Pastor Glenn, he said, I don't know what to do. He said, the people in New York, they talk so fast, they walk so fast. He said, I can't understand a word they're saying. I can't keep up with you people. Pace of life here, it is not normal, and Jesus is inviting you today. Come away with me. Push past your weariness. Come on, let me into your boat, and let's pull away from here, and let's go someplace sane. Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The first thing we have to push past is our weariness. A second thing I find that we have to push past in order to get in position to try again is we have to push past our worries. Push past your worries. Look at me, beloved. Fear will keep you in the shallows. When I was 18 years old, right after I graduated from high school, I went to the country of Haiti for 3 months and did missions work there. We were staying first in the city of Port-au-Prince. And every morning in Port-au-Prince, there are wagons that go through the streets pulled by men to collect the dead bodies of people who have perished overnight. Thousands of people are starving to death in Haiti, and even though it's a tropical climate, at nighttime when the sun goes down and the temperature drops just a little bit, people who are starving don't have any energy left in their body to shiver, and so they die overnight of hypothermia, and in the morning the wagons come and collect their bodies and take them off to mass graves. After a few weeks in Port-au-Prince, we went up the coast to the mission station, and I woke up one morning and I saw a sight that I'll never forget. There were coming down the shore towards us, there was a boat out in the water. It was only maybe 10 or 15 feet deep out into the water, and there were men holding one end of a net. On the shore were some other men running along and holding the other end of the net, and they were dragging the net along very close into the beach catching fish. Only there was hardly anything in the net, just a few small, meager fish. And the missionary said to me, he said, do you see that? He said, do you know that just out there, just out there a little bit into the water, there is a myriad of fish. There is an abundance of fish. But he said, the people believe that there are evil spirits in the water. And in Haiti, there probably are. He said, they believe there are evil spirits in the water and they won't go out into the deep because they are afraid. A whole nation of people starving to death, and just beyond their fingertips is an abundance of food, but fear keeps them in the shallows. And we hear that, and it would almost be laughable to us if it wasn't so pathetic. And yet, in the same way, you and I, we allow fear to keep us in the shallows. We allow fear. We've been burned once. Burn me once. Shame on you. Burn me twice. Shame on me. I'm not going to set myself up. I'm not going to put myself in position to fail. And we allow fear to keep us anchored in the shallows. We worry. Can I really trust him? Can I really trust His word. If you ever want to get in position to try again, you must push past your worries. Beloved, listen to me. When it comes to fishing, ask the carpenter. Did you ever think about how absolutely ridiculous this scene really was? Peter was a fisherman. He had spent his entire life on the water, and he hadn't done too badly. He was the co-owner of a small fishing business. He was the captain of his own fishing vessel. Peter knew fishing. And Jesus? What exactly was he? Well, let's see. He was a carpenter from an inland town. And he was in the middle of some kind of career change to become some sort of religious teacher or inspirational speaker or prophet or faith healer or something. So it was probably safe to assume that Jesus knew about wood. Maybe he even knew about the boat. Maybe he had even made a boat. It was pretty safe to assume Jesus, being a carpenter, knew about wood. It was even probably safe to assume he knew something about the word, being that he was a teacher. But it wasn't at all safe to assume that Jesus knew a fig about fish. And Jesus, the carpenter, slash itinerant speaker, slash prophet, slash faith healer, slash speaker, was now asking Peter, the fisherman, slash fishery co-owner, slash small fishing vessel captain, to do something that was completely contrary to everything he knew about fish. Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. What? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. No, Jesus, you don't understand. That's the wrong spot for fishing. Besides, it's the wrong time of day for fishing. We have the wrong equipment on board to do what you're asking. Jesus, this is all wrong. And we struggle with the same kind of worry. You see, the wisdom of this book, it runs contrary to the wisdom of the world in which we live. So much so that sometimes we wonder if God really knows what he's talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Provision for daily living. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Love your enemies and pray for those who mistreat you. What? No, here, this is New York. It's sue your enemies and make them pay who mistreat you. Really? Really? Can I really trust the word of this enigmatic carpenter slash faith healer slash teacher slash convicted criminal? Can I really trust him? Jesus, you're just a carpenter crucified 2,000 years ago. What do you know about my situation? What do you know about my business problems? What do you know about my messy relationships? What do you know about my life? I have network coverage on my iPhone. I have problems. What do you know about it? Jesus, you're just a carpenter. What could you possibly know about fishing? But here's what Peter was about to discover. The maker of the boat is the best qualified to be the master of the boat. What does he know about fish? He made the fish. All 29,000 species of them. And he made the sea. And he made you. And he made me. And what Peter discovered that day is that Jesus knows best. What Peter discovered that day is that Jesus really does have the answers. No wonder a little later in life, Peter wrote the words, "He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him." Peter discovered that Jesus was able to tell him everything he needed to know for fishing. Jesus is able to tell you everything you need for fruitfulness in your career. Jesus is able to tell you everything you need for success in your personal relationships. Jesus is able to tell you everything you need for a strong, healthy body. He's able to tell you everything you need for an abundant life here and eternal life there. What, you think God doesn't understand life in the 21st century? Texting was his idea. He sent the first text message. And he has a solution for your iPhone problem too. It's in Proverbs 8:27. He set the heavens in place and drew the Verizon on the oceans. It's there, you just got to read it. Jesus is calling you. Try again, this time it'll be different. Try again, push past your weariness, push past your worries. And another thing I find that we must push past your wounds. Push past your wounds. Beloved, look at me. Harboring unforgiveness will keep you anchored in the shallows forever. Peter was sore. His eyes were sore. His hands were sore. His arms were sore. His shoulders were sore. His back was sore. His abs were sore. His legs were sore. His knees were sore. His feet were sore. His heart was smarting at the prospect of going home to his family empty-handed. Jesus was urging him, come on, Peter, launch out into the deep water and try again. And in order to do that, Peter had to push past the hurt. And the same thing is true for you and me. Sometimes what keeps us from trying again is that we've been hurt. We're smarting. We're sore. We have been let down so many times that we no longer have the heart to let our net down one more time. Beloved, if you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart, it will keep you anchored in the shallows. Push past your wounds. Don't let the fishes wear you down. You know, when the Bible compares humans to different species in the animal kingdom, it's amazingly accurate. For example, the Bible compares us to sheep. Did you know that sheep are possibly the dumbest animals on earth? And they are possibly the most vulnerable animals on earth. Every inclination of a sheep is toward behavior that is absolutely self-destructive. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. If sheep are not led by a good shepherd, they are sure to perish. In other places, the Bible compares people to fish. Habakkuk 1:14, you have made men like the fish of the sea. They have no ruler. Therefore, the wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, and so he laughs. In Luke 5, Jesus compares people to fish. And I find that we actually have a lot in common. Fish are elusive. Fish are slippery. Fish do not follow any leader. Fish fight and fish bite. Fish flip-flop. You think you have a fish on board with you, and you turn around and just like that, he jumps ship. And fish go bad. I find that sometimes people are a lot like fish. Sometimes you meet people in life who are just slippery. Slimy even. Some people will not follow any leadership. Some people will fight you. Some people will bite you. Some people you meet in life will flip-flop on you. One minute they're with you, and the next minute they've changed their minds. One minute they're your friend, and the next minute they've become a bitter enemy. You think they're on board with you, and you turn around, and you find they've jumped ship. And some people we meet in life just go bad. My grandmother grew up in a section of Philadelphia called Fish Town. It's where the fish market was, and she used to say to me, "Fish and company both go bad in 3 days." My old pastor and father in the Lord used to say to me, "Glenn, there's nothing funnier than people." And it's true. But here's the most important thing. Don't let the fishes wear you down. You can't move on in life as long as you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart. You can't try again. You can't get in position for success. You must, listen to me, you must let it go. The only person you hurt when you hold on to unforgiveness is yourself. You know, unforgiveness is the gift that just keeps on giving and giving and giving. Somebody hurt you. Somebody betrayed your trust. Somebody robbed you. Somebody broke your heart. They burned you once. But if you hold on to unforgiveness, they hurt you again and again and again and again. And here's the kicker. They're off having a good time. You're in your room and your stomach is in knots and you're all eaten up and you're angry. Can I tell you, bitterness over the long haul makes you ugly. Literally, physically. Makes you ugly from the inside out. Somebody said, "Beauty's only skin deep, but ugly goes clear through to the bone." That's what, you're sitting in your room, you're all bitter, you're all eaten up, you're spitting nails, you're fuming, and you're replaying again and again and again in your mind those hurtful words that were said to you, that thing that was done to you, the betrayal that happened to you. You're replaying it again and again, and you're all miserable, and they're over here, they're having a party. They've moved on, they're having fun. They have no idea that you're so miserable over there. If you're ever going to try again, you must push past the wounds. You must let it go with the help of God, by the grace of God. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a choice. It is an act of your will. You choose to forgive, and you ask God for the grace to get all the bitterness out of your heart. If God forgave you in Jesus, the sum total of every rotten thing you have ever done in your life, then He can help you to turn around and forgive that person who hurt you, even if it was badly. Let it go. Don't let the fishes wear you down. Push past your wounds and make peace with the master of the sea. Sometimes our problem is not with the fishes. Sometimes it's with the master of the seas. Peter had to make peace with Jesus. There was some kind of issue in his life between him and God. We don't know what it was. The Bible protects his privacy, but Peter dropped down on his knees and he said, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." We don't know what it was, but there was some issue between Peter and God, and he had to make peace with it on the boat. Sometimes you and I have to make peace with God over a wound that has come our way. Someone disappointed you in His name. Maybe it was a church. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a priest or a board member or a denominational official. Someone representing Him disappointed you, and it left a wound in your heart. And it's between you and God. Beloved, listen to me. Listen. Don't ever, ever withhold worship from a good God because a bad man hurt you. Don't ever withhold the thanks, the praise that is due his name, the debt of gratitude that you owe him, the love that he's worthy to receive from you. Don't withhold it from a good God because a bad man hurt you in his name. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at the man and then forgive him. You have to. Sometimes it's God himself we're disappointed with. He wasn't there when you expected him to be. He wasn't there in the moment that you needed him. Mary, she cried out to Jesus when her brother died and he showed up on the fourth day. She said, "Lord, where were you? We thought you loved us. We thought you cared. We sent for you. Jesus, where were you? If you had been here, it wouldn't have happened this way." Maybe there's a moment when God wasn't on the scene where you needed him and when you wanted him to be there, and you have an issue that you need to resolve with him. Make your peace with him. Push past your wounds. Jesus is inviting you, try again. Come on, launch out. Let's go. Try again. Push past your weariness. Push past your worries. Push past your wounds. Don't be anchored anymore by fatigue or fear or by unforgiveness. Instead, anchor your faith in Jesus and try again. As I look at these verses, there are three things to anchor our faith in. Three things to anchor our faith in so that we can try again. First of all, Jesus is inviting you to try again. Anchor your faith in his presence with you. Anchor his faith in his presence with you. Jesus is saying, try again. It's going to be different this time. Why is it going to be different this time? Because this time Jesus is in your boat. This time he's with you. He was with Abraham. He was with Isaac in the famine, and he's with you. He was with Jacob at Bethel and at Uncle Laban's house, and he's with you. He was with Moses in the wilderness, and he's with you. He caused bread to show up on the dew. He caused quail to rain down from heaven. He caused water to flow from a rock. He preserved Moses so that his clothes didn't wear out, nor his shoes. Some of you ladies wouldn't like that. You never get to go shoe shopping again. He's with you. Like he was with Joshua at Jordan and Jericho, he's with you. Like he was with Gideon in the wine press and at war, he's with you. Like he was with David in the pasture and when he faced off with Goliath and when he was being pursued by Saul, he's with you. He's with you like he was with Daniel in the lion's den. He's with you like he was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He's with you like he was with Esther. He's with you like he was with Nehemiah. He's with you like he was with Ezra. He's with you like he was with Zerubbabel. He is with you. Try again. Why is it going to be different this time? Because Jesus is in your boat. Anchor your faith on his presence with you. A second thing to anchor your faith on, anchor your faith on his promises. Anchor your faith on his promises. I love this passage of scripture because in this passage, two times Jesus promises success. The first time is in Luke 5 and verse 4. I never saw it before. I never realized it. But here's what Jesus didn't say. What he didn't say was, "Peter, give it a whirl." He didn't say, "Peter, roll the dice and let's see what happens. Give it another go." He didn't say, "Let's try it again and hold your breath and see what happens." This is what Jesus said. He said, "Peter, try again. Let down your net for a catch." I'm going to preach myself happy in 1 second. How many of you know that fishing doesn't guarantee a catch? I may be the world's worst fisherman. Fishing requires patience. It requires quiet. It requires dexterity. It requires coordination. None of those things I have. The only thing I ever catch when I'm fishing is a sunburn. It's true. I took my son out fishing a couple of weeks ago, and we were fishing all morning and not having a very good day of it. And I said, oh God, please let me catch a fish so I don't look like a complete goof in the eyes of my son. And so finally, after a little bit, the fish always eat my bait right off the hook and then they're gone. So they go. I just feed them. That's what I do. I feed the fish when I go fishing. So finally, I had a bite on my line, and my rod bent over, and I knew it was, you know, an award-winning bass or lake trout or something. I knew I had a monster on the end of my line. It was like an epic battle. I'm pulling and I was like that scene out of The Old Man in the Sea when he's reeling in that fish. And so I knew that it was going to be just something. And my son's watching with his eyes big and round like this. And finally, when I pulled the fish out of the water, it was a 5-inch crappie. 5-inch does not imply a catch, but Jesus didn't say to Peter, he didn't say, give it a whirl and see what happens. He said, let down your nets for a catch. And then in verse 10 is the second promise of success. We used to sing a little Sunday school song from this verse. Maybe you remember it. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Sweet song, isn't it? Totally incorrect. Jesus didn't say to Peter, I'll make you a fisher of men. What Jesus said to Peter in Luke 5:10 is, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men. In fact, in Greek, I love it. It says, you will catch them alive. He says, don't be afraid, Peter. Jesus didn't just say, give it a try. He didn't just say, I'll make you a fisher of men. He said, trust me, and I will make you a catcher of men. Don't be afraid anymore, Peter. Don't be downtrodden anymore, Peter. Don't be anxious anymore, Peter. Don't be depressed anymore, Peter. Don't be discouraged anymore, Peter. From now on, you will succeed. From now on, you will prosper. From now on, God will bless the work of your hands, and everything you touch will bear fruit. From now on, you will achieve what you set out to achieve. From now on, you will accomplish what you set out to accomplish. Don't be afraid anymore, Peter. You will catch men. Come on, give the Lord a praise in this place. Hallelujah. You and I have the word of His promise. You will catch men. You will succeed. You will live and not die. You will declare the works of the Lord. We have the word of His promise. Jesus promised us in John 4. He said, you will reap a harvest. You will draw wages to eternal life. You will collect what others have worked for. In John 15, Jesus said, you didn't pick me. I picked you. And I ordained you. That word means positioned. I positioned you to bear fruit that remains. Jesus said, if you want to know what you're called to, it's fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. We have the word of His promise. See, that's why I don't expect to fail in Stamford, Connecticut. That's why I expect to reap a great harvest in Stamford, Connecticut, because we have the word of His promise. You will catch men. That's why I don't expect to fail at phase 2. I don't know where we're going to get the money from, Steve. I really don't. But it's not my problem. It's his problem. He said, all the gold is mine. All the silver is mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills. And we have his word of promise. I will build my church. Now, his promise doesn't mean that we don't have to work. All of a sudden, the shouting stopped. You see, Jesus, he could have just snapped his fingers and all the fish could have just jumped right into the boat. But Jesus said, no, let down the net again. That means even though their back was sore and their shoulders were sore and they were tired, even though their hands hurt, they had to do the work all over again. They had to put the net. His promise of success doesn't mean that we don't have to work. It just means that while we're working, we have the assurance in our heart that he's going to bless all the works of our hands. And he's going to make us succeed. Have faith. Faith in his presence with you. Have faith in his promises. And finally, have faith in his power. Nothing is impossible. Nothing, 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 nothing is impossible. I looked it up in Greek. You know what it means? Nothing. Beloved, look at me. May God help you. May God give you grace. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible. Your messed up marriage, it's not impossible for him. Your messed up kids, it's not impossible for him. Your messed up finances, it's not impossible for him. This recession, it's not impossible for him to bless you. Listen to me, somebody receive the word of the Lord. Cancer is not impossible. It's not too difficult for him. The diagnosis you've received, it's not too difficult for him. Nothing, nothing is impossible for him. He is a net-breaking, boat-sinking, blessing kind of a God. Trust in his power. Try again. Try again. Try again. Take faith and try again. Send the resume again. Write the letter again. Make the phone call again. Sit down with your unsaved spouse and have the conversation again. Talk to your children again. Send the proposal again. Put the bid in again. Put in the offer again. Trust him. Take faith. Nothing is impossible. Try again. Come on, stand up on your feet and give God a big praise in this place. Come on, give God a big praise. Give God a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Pastor Nick, help us out if you would. Would you bow your heads all over this place with me? We're going to close this service in prayer in just one moment. But just before we do, I wonder if there's someone here and you've never taken the very first step to launching out. And that is inviting Jesus into your boat. It's inviting him to step into the center of your life, to come be the captain of your ship. Listen, if you're on stormy seas, there's someone who can do a better job navigating than you've been doing so far. You've never taken that first step and asked Jesus into your heart. And just before we pray, you want to do that while heads are bowed all over this place. I want to ask you to just lift up a hand high and reach out to the Lord. If that's you, if you want to do that, just lift up a hand high. Reach out to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Somebody else. Lift up a hand high and reach out to the Lord. Thank you. Is there somebody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you let me into your boat? Come on. Let's get out of here. Let's pull away from here. Let's go to better places together. Come on, someone else. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you all to lift up your hands with us now, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want everyone to pray and repeat after me, and we're going to help a few people in this place this morning take the first step to launching out by inviting Jesus into their boat. Come on, I'm going to lead us. Would you repeat after me as we pray? Let's pray. Father.
Father.
Come on, Father.
Father.
Thank you for loving me.
Father,
thank you for sending Jesus,
your only son.
Jesus, thank you for the cross.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe. I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you raised from the dead.
I confess with my mouth.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus, come into my boat. I welcome you.
Wash me.
Cleanse me. Jesus, I invite you
to be the captain of my ship.
Would you come?
Be my Lord
and the leader of my life.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, in just a moment, there's going to be some folks right here at the altar facing you. And I want to ask you if you would come and just share with them the decision that you've made this morning. And they want to celebrate with you and they want to pray with you. I'm going to ask everybody in this place, would you lift up your hands? Because I believe that God wants to make a deposit of faith in this place this morning. Try again. Try again. That failed business, try again. That failed relationship, try again. Try again. Try again. God's going to help you. This time it's going to be different. This time Jesus is in your boat. This time you have the word of his promise. The night is over. The toil is past. The labor, the sorrow, it's gone. Sorrow only lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Try again. God is with you. Come on, lift up your hands. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for making a deposit of faith by the Holy Spirit in the heart of every man and woman in this place, of every student, of every child. Father, thank you, Lord, for quickening faith. Thank you for increasing the measure of our faith and giving us the ability to believe you, Lord, for great things to come. Father, thank you that we have your word of promise that you will bless the work of our hands. Father, we will catch men. Lord, we will succeed. Lord, we will conquer and accomplish and achieve. Father, thank you for increasing the measure of our faith. Lord, I thank you for removing scales off of our eyes and giving us the ability to see into the future with hope and, Lord, to see new possibilities and prospects. Father, I thank you that this week breakthroughs are coming. Father, thank you for job offers coming this week. Father, thank you for interviews this week. Thank you for promotions this week. Thank you for bonuses. Thank you for sales this week, Lord. Father, thank you for relationships that are going to turn around this week. Thank you for kids that are going to come around this week, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus, we trust you. We trust in you. Come on, give him one more praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. 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 Just.